Last week, a dear friend of mine joined me for a 46-mile paddle on the wild and scenic Ausable River. It was a trip that he and I had talked and planned for 2 years, and we spent 4 beautiful days on that river. It was an incredible experience, but if I had any disappointments, I would name 2. It rained way too much, and secondly, the temperatures were just too iffy. Other than that, it was an incredible experience. But let me ask you this question. Have you had any disappointments recently? Our story today is a story about disappointment. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 18, it says, Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you, Laban, 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. And we've heard the story before. We know that those 7 years were like 7 days because he was so in love with Rachel. There's a wedding at the end of the 7 years, and Laban gives one of his daughters to Jacob. And in the morning, after that first wedding night, we hear these words. When morning came, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Now, some of you may think, well, Jacob is the trickster and he's finally getting what is his due. He's conned so many people so many times, and now he's getting a dose of his own medicine. And I get that. But his statement, what is this you have done to me, is a universal statement of disappointment. Haven't you ever said either those words or something like those words? What is this you have done to me? Friends, the Bible is full of what is this you have done to me stories. Listen to Psalm 88, verses 1 through 4. O God, do not keep silence. Do not hold your peace or be still, O God. Even now your enemies are in tumult. Those who hate you have raised their heads. They lay crafty plans against your people. They consult together against those you protect. They say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. Folks, this guy's back is against the wall. And God isn't showing up the way he hopes for and wants. Oh God, do not keep silence. Do not be still. This guy is in a season of disappointment with God. Psalm 82, verses 1 through 3 is another example of disappointment. The psalmist cries out, how long will you judge unjustly by granting favor to the wicked? Give justice to the lowly and the orphan. Maintain the right of the poor and the destitute. I love the vulnerability here. How long? God, I'm disappointed. How long? The wicked are winning. Injustice is winning. How long, God, will you let this go on? It is a lament of disappointment. And you find it not just in the Old Testament, but fast forward to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he comes upon the 3 disciples, Peter, James, and John, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. And Jesus says this, Jesus came back to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, couldn't you stay alert 1 hour with me? Do you hear the disappointment there? Couldn't you stay alert 1 hour with me? Today, Jesus would say, seriously? Seriously? You couldn't stay alert with me for just 1 hour? Disappointment. Let me ask you, what are your disappointments? Recently, we just announced that the governance board voted unanimously to cease in-person worship until the end of 2020. I cannot tell you the sense of disappointment that each board member shares in making that decision. Our hearts are heavy. Our hearts are disappointed. What are your disappointments? And how have you responded to them? Denial, vengeance, anger, guilt, and it's the taskmasters of the could-haves, the would-haves, and the should-haves? How have you responded? In our families, in our life, disappointments are a given reality, and the Bible gives full affirmation of this. But the Bible, as we read its many stories, also begins to show us ways that God's people have navigated through the seasons and moments of disappointment. Let me share with you a couple of those navigational signposts for when we live through and walk through our times and seasons of disappointment. The first seems to be this: be honest. Be honest. Jacob cried out to Laban, "What is this that you have done to me?" He didn't hide it. He didn't deny it. He gave voice to it. He was honest about it. Recently, a friend of mine messaged me, and in that messaging conversation, I asked him about how things are with his two young boys. My friend has been through a multi-year divorce proceeding, and it was finally granted several years ago, but things did not go very favorably for him. The woman he had married was and remains an amazingly broken human being and has come at him with a vengeance I have rarely seen in people and even in divorce proceedings. But my friend has recently experienced some court victories where he now has his boys half of the time, and there were other financial arrangements that finally became more just. But my friend messaged me this: "I have to say, God took a long time for this plan, LOL." Now, I know what my friend has gone through, and I don't disagree with him. It has taken quite a bit of time to see these expressions of justice, and he has prayed and waited for a long time. In a sense, my friend was giving transparent, honest voice to his disappointment with God. And that's okay. That's part of healthy navigation of disappointment. Be honest. Secondly, I see in the scripture narratives this signpost for navigating disappointment. Be reflective. How has God shown his love and faithfulness in the past? Time and time again, especially in the Psalms, we read statements like this: "But this I remember. But this I remember." And then they write about and talk about how God had been faithful in the past. And though even they're not seeing it now, they know that God has been faithful in the past, and they hang on to that as a promise that God will be faithful in the future. In Isaiah chapter 40, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah and says, "When you walk through the waters, they will not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, it will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, your Savior." It doesn't say if you walk through the waters or if you walk through the fires. It says when you will walk through these things. And God's promise to us is his faithfulness, his faithfulness. And time again in the scriptures, we see God's people in seasons of disappointment, looking around and saying, "God, where are you?" And then they reach back into the treasure trove of history and God's faithfulness to his people. And they lay hold of that. They claim it for encouragement in the present. For you and for me, we need to ask ourselves, how has God shown his love and faithfulness in my past, in your past? We lay hold of that. It gives us hope and encouragement. And even if we look back and say, I'm not sure if I see that faithfulness. You and I can look back especially to Holy Week, to Palm Sunday, to the upper room and the washing of the feet, and to the betrayal and the Garden of Gethsemane. We can look to the trial of Jesus. We can look to Good Friday and to Holy Saturday and to the Easter event. We can look to the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus and say, if nothing else, I see the faithfulness of God entering into this broken world full of disappointments, and God's faithfulness is shown. God is moving. God is working to redeem this broken world that I live in, and God will be with me as well in my disappointments. Be reflective, be honest, and lastly, be grace-filled. You and I are vessels meant to be filled with Jesus. Keep being filled. Keep moving forward to have more and more of Jesus within us, transforming us so that we look more like Jesus, sound more like Jesus, smell more like Jesus, we love more like Jesus, we live more like Jesus. Jesus, in the story of Matthew chapter 26, Jesus didn't kick Peter, James, and John off the team, even though he was disappointed with them. He knew they were under construction. He knew that God was at work in their lives. And though there was a season and a moment of a very real disappointment, he knew that there was more that God had for those three disciples. And friends, there is more that God has for you and me. We are under construction. Two friends of mine who I have walked through their divorce because of a relationship ravaged by alcoholism, two friends who have borne the wounds of that addictive disease and came to a place, and I agreed with them that they needed to legally separate from one another. And that was a heartbreaking season of disappointment for them and for me. And yet, even then, I would affirm that I saw how Jesus was at work in their lives. Recently, probably about 6 months ago, I saw a post from one of those friends that he had been sober now for probably 18 months and was celebrating the work of Jesus in his life. I then began to notice that he was spending time with his former spouse. And I began to wonder if perhaps God might be doing something even more and even more wondrously amazing. And in fact, just recently, it was confirmed to me that my friend and his ex-wife, my friend as well, were going to remarry. They had discovered one another as friends. And in that friendship, something that they had not experienced in years, in that renewed friendship, a new redeemed love for each other began to grow again. And interestingly enough, the clergy who will officiate at my friend's wedding was once my backdoor neighbor, a person of Christian faith, but came out of such a judgmental background and was highly suspicious of me, I might add. But in her brokenness, came to our church in Ashland, Ohio, and went on her Emmaus walk experience. And there, as she said, she met a different Jesus, and it changed her life. And God called her into the ministry, and this wedding that she will perform is the first wedding that she will ever officiate. And so she herself, as a recovering and recovered alcoholic, redeemed by Jesus, will officiate at the wedding of two broken individuals who knew the disappointing ravages of alcoholism, but have also known the redeeming love of Jesus that can heal the broken heart, that can set people free from disease and addiction. And now they will celebrate their remarriage on what would have been their 35th wedding anniversary. My friends are still under construction, but they are being filled with the very presence of Jesus. And in that infilling, that fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, they are going forward individually, but also corporately as a new husband and wife in a redeemed and being redeemed marriage. So my friends, in your disappointment, be honest about it. Be reflective. Where has God shown his love and faithfulness in your past and in the story of God's people? And be grace-filled. Continue to seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and in your discipleship. Allow the love of Jesus to expand your mind and expand your heart as we move forward and navigating our personal and our corporate seasons of disappointment. Would you join me as we pray? Lord Jesus, I know you love me, but I have a list of disappointments that I keep in the pocket of my heart. Can I share them with you? Can I tell you how I really feel? Help me to be brutally honest with you, and in this honesty, help me to remember your goodness, compassion, and mercy toward me. Fill me with your presence so that these times and seasons of disappointment can be seasons in which you form my life to more perfectly reflect your beauty. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.